World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I kind of feel like the Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? This is what I feel like. This is what I feel like here on 7-Eleven. Ooh, huh? That'd be rolling some dice, wouldn't it? 7-Eleven. Get your communion now. We're going to do communion today. You know, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and another voice they won't hear. And I want you to ask yourself this. Do you hear from the Holy Spirit? I mean, really, do you hear his voice? You do understand this, don't you? That the voice of the Holy Spirit comes as a thought. That's how he speaks to you. He plants a thought in your mind. That's why the Bible says it would take captive every thought, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ, because everything you do, excuse me, and everything I do begins as a thought. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Pretty profound. Signs and wonders, things going on. There's a lot going on. 7-Eleven, roll those dice. I want to talk a little bit today. We're going to get into some. I was saying in the pre-show, I've never been so overwhelmed with all the good things, not only good things, spiritual, demonic things that are going on that the average Christian isn't picking up on. We have no understanding of what Jesus said. There'd be signs in the sky. We can't. He said, it's when a storm's coming. By the way, I've been getting a lot of storms. When the storms come, you see them coming. You prepare. He said, you got, you hypocrites. You can read the weather, but you can't read the signs of the times. What does that mean? Signs of the times, end times, everything, end times. Can I tell you this? We've been in end times ever since I've been alive. In fact, we've been in end times ever since Jesus resurrected. We've been in end times, whatever that means. Because don't forget this. There ain't no time where he is. Jesus is above and beyond time. Time has no impact at all. See, we can't understand that because we're stuck in this time-space continuum. We live in a 24-hour cycle. We live in a 28-day lunar cycle. It's part of being trapped in this natural world in which we find ourselves. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was void and without form. I can't explain that to you. I don't even know what that means. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, what is light? Just light? Is that just the sun? Is it just the sun, the appearance of the sun? Was that the light? Or was there light that came into the heart of men? Enlightenment. When men began from that point on to have some depth of understanding and connecting dot A and dot B and C to D and understand there's something happening here. We go back and study the whole creation story. We ought to take some time to do that. You'd be blown away. We're going to take communion. Hang on, I'll get you. And then Craig's got some great stuff for us today. Like I said, I could go a thousand different directions. You know what happened here yesterday? Hey, folks. Water represents the Holy Spirit, basically the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. Now, you guys know, we all know of the flooding that's going on. We had a rainstorm here the other day that was about 2 miles long. I'm not lying to you. 2 miles. I got on the freeway and I drove about 2 miles and then it stopped. And the rain was so strong, I thought I was going to have to pull over the side of the road for 2 minutes. And then I was out of it. Then the road wasn't even wet. I said, Lord, what's going on with this water? What the heck is going on with all this water? And then yesterday, I was getting ready to do some things. Doesn't matter what it was. I was getting ready to do some things. I get a phone call from my wife. She said, Maggie's house is flooding. Maggie's, our daughter, lives on the other side of the woods. I look outside. It ain't raining. What do you mean Maggie's house is flooding? So I turned around and drove over to Maggie's house, which is flooding, and I walked in. And some device in her house up in, they have a two-story house, concrete floors, praise the Lord. Up on the second floor, a water softener type device. I got one over here. Was shooting out water like somebody had turned on a spigot. I'm not talking about drip, drip, drip. I'm talking about water gushing out of that thing. Second floor, running down the walls. What do they call that? Dry board. You know what I'm talking about. The peelings coming off. I'm sitting there watching it rain in my daughter's house coming right down. I said, Lord, what's going on? What's going on with this water? What is the message you're trying to get me to see, Lord? Water. And we have a pond, and it won't hold water. Water represents the Holy Spirit. The pond is the vessel that holds the water. And the water's coming down, and it's rolling in the pond, and the pond won't hold it. Lord, what's the message you're trying to tell me about water? What is it I'm missing here? Floods in New Mexico. Floods ever. Flood, 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 flood. Flood in my daughter's house coming out of a pipe. I don't know. There's a message there. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate about, because immediately we go, well, the end times, Coach Dave, it's exactly, you know, got to read your Bible. It's what it says in there. Yeah, it does say that, doesn't it? It does say that. How long have we been in the end times? I know a lot of dead people right now. Wait a minute, that's not true. I knew a lot of dead people who never made it to the end times. Anybody, you know where I'm coming from? And we're so focused on the rapture and the end times. And there's an element of the American church who actually thinks this stuff that's happening is good because it means Jesus' return is imminent. I'm not gonna dive into that, but I'm gonna tell you this. That's pretty sick thinking. As I laid my head on my pillow last night and tried to deal with the grief that I knew my daughter was feeling over the destruction of her house with water on a perfectly dry day. Something's happening here. And we, most of us, are so missing it. So missing it. I was on Patriot Party News last night. I didn't get a chance. My golf league last night too. I didn't get a chance to be part of Mel's Bible study, but I pray that that went well last night. I encourage more of you to get involved with it. And I got a million things I want to talk about today. So if I don't cover your topic, it's just because I got a lot of balls in the air. Go ahead, Mel.
Thanks, Coach. Hey, yeah, we had a great time last night. We had about 16 people join us, which was great for our first launch. And, you know, we were studying Revelation 1 through 3. We only got to Revelation 1, verse 9. So
that's the way it should work, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was so good. It was so rich. What good steak dinner we had last night. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue weekly until we finish this study. So I've posted, Spencer, if you could go to the Liberty Action Network to upcoming events, I've posted the Ecclesia Bible Study number 2. And we're just going to pick up where we left off. But I just had a great time last night. I don't know if anybody who's on wants to comment, but it was very rich for me. Thank you.
I don't want to go there right now. Thank you, Mel. Okay. Appreciate it. We'll get to it. I want to go to communion. We got to get communion in here so we can get moving on. All right. Thanks, Mel. And I'm glad y'all did that last night. And by the way, again, those of you who think we have a cult, had nothing to do with it. Had nothing to do with that Bible study last night. I didn't organize it. I didn't tell Mel to organize it. I didn't tell her what to talk about. I didn't tell her what she could say or didn't say. This is good stuff going on. Joe Carrico, come on in, Joe. Hey, hang on a second before Joe comes in. Do you have any idea how lightly we take this stuff? Do we really? Do you really understand how lightly we take the Lord's Supper? Man, he said, as often as you do this, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And we're not really very, what's the word on this? Not very holy. That's not the right word. We don't take it very seriously. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
thank you, Coach. I believe you're correct that we tend to often wash it off as a little thing in the middle of everything else I want to get back to, which is totally the wrong way to take communion. And what I've learned, starting with your challenge to us in September 21. Matthew 26:26 for 26 days, wow, whether you're alone or whatever. And that sort of woke me up.
We need to get back to more of that, folks. Group prayer, group activity, where two or more are gathered, he's in the midst. Thanks for reminding me of that, Joe.
Yeah. And even if you're alone, it's still good, but two or more is better, I believe. And if you're somebody with two personalities, and I guess alone they're probably almost just two or more. But sorry, it's too easy, that one. Holy Spirit's laughing too at that one. So anyway, dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry, I gotta redo my reading. Challenging week.
It has, brother.
Everybody, we're reading from John 6, 32 to 40. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto
person.
The world.
It's a person.
They say unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not.
Wow.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me.
Mm. We could learn something from that, couldn't we, Joe?
Oh, yeah. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day.
Mm.
And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Joe, do you have any idea, folks, do you have any idea how many people will you run into every day who thinks everyone goes to heaven when they die? He's in a better place. When Jesus himself told us, broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Many come, few find it. The American church is preaching the exact opposite message. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's profound is the wrong word, but we need to be awake. And we need to take captive every thought. We need to not repeat our mistakes. If we can do anything to get out of that pattern. If you can't get out of the pattern, then ask for help. Find a church or a group of Christians who can help you, deliverance or whatever you want to call it, to get out of patterns and things.
Hey, folks, some of you don't need the deliverance. You just need obedience. Blaming the devil, it's you.
Well, that's true. I think often we probably give the devil too often the credit for what's going wrong when it's our own personal choices or who we hang out with or recovering from a former choice.
Amen.
But when choices it is him, we shouldn't ignore that it is him.
Choices and behavior have consequences.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, let's move on, Joe. It's all good.
Okay.
It's my fault.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning for communion. We are told to take communion in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these verses we just read remind us that he is the bread of life, that he was sent from heaven from his Father. And he did his Father's will, not his. And I wear on my right wrist, Lord, a little rubber bracelet thingy that says, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I guess he would have done what the Father would have asked him to do. But that doesn't fit as nicely on a little bracelet. So what would Jesus do achieves the same thing, Lord. But let us remember walking our paths to remember Jesus when we take communion, to ask for forgiveness from our sins and transgressions before we come into your presence taking communion. And to remember that we are ambassadors of Jesus here. Here in this dirt world we find ourselves in now. We are his ambassadors, and we have emotions that can empower us or emotions that can distract us to go the wrong direction. So please help us all to take captive our thoughts, to step back in a heated situation, and remember to, as much as far as possible as we can, to do what Jesus would have done in this situation. Help us to move forward on the path that Jesus would have us walk on, to come to that narrow gate, to be part of those who pass into eternal life when that time comes. And so, Lord, we ask you to stop the enemy where he may be, but let us not give credit to him when he did, it doesn't deserve it. But Lord, a lot of us believe that he was active in Texas this past week. We pray for all those affected by what happened there. But we also, and their families, and bring them through this storm. And let them find the strength in you. Let them find how Romans 8:28 is the truth, because a lot of them aren't feeling that right now, Lord. But also, Lord, we believe that our weather and the natural elements are used against us through scientific things and weapons and evildoers. I don't know the exact truth here, Lord, but I believe that there is some truth in those fears or those thoughts. So to the extent that anybody was or is involved in bringing such calamity down on nations, on cities, on counties, on states, on people, we ask that the truth be brought out, and we ask that true justice be done unto those who have been doing this. And let this open up a tidal wave of truth, because these things have been happening for a long time. And it's not just one technology, it's not just one thing, it is a whole control mechanism. Help the truth to come out. And help us to realize that you gave us authority, ultimately, in these things. As Jesus calmed the storm, we need to learn what our authority is, Lord. So when we find ourselves in situations, we can actually help. And so now we ask you to bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was sacrificed for us over 1,000 years ago. And we ask you, forgive us our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. And we are on our spiritual knees now in gratitude, Lord, remembering what you did for us. Remembering what you did, not only saved us, gave us eternal life, but also restored our authority and also healed our bodies and our souls and so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Producer, if I could have the next set.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Coach.
You know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me as we were getting there. And the Holy Spirit said, "Stop blaming the devil for your disobedience. Did you hear that? Some of you are dealing with problems in your life, and it's just simply disobedience. It isn't the devil. Bible says for you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it is sin. And if you know there's something that you ought to do or something you ought to stop doing, stop blaming the devil. Saying, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. At some point, got to man up, got to belly up to the bar and say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. Or, yes, I will do that. It's always so easy to blame the devil. The devil's probably on vacation. We're doing it to ourselves, man. We're doing it to ourselves. All right, let me get rolling. A lot of good stuff here today. Let me see what I got. Matthew 24, verse 12. I want to talk about this. I'm going to turn it over to Craig here a little bit. 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the interpretation I have says lawlessness. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Anybody out there besides me noticing a lot of people are just kind of saying, hell with it. Hell with it. I'll take care of my own, my few, mine. I'll take care of my hell with the rest of it. Because why? Iniquity is abounding. Oh my goodness, I got some good stuff. Okay, let me move. We're about out of time already. Excuse me. Jesus told us that we could, said, you can see the storm clouds building. Why can't you understand the times, signs of the times? And if you walk into an average church and you begin to talk about the signs of the times and the end times, you're going to give 15 different descriptions and definitions. And really, the ultimate question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? They're murdering babies. What are you going to do? Lawlessness is abounding everywhere you look. What are you going to do? Can anybody find for me any place in the scripture where the Lord says, all sin, just ignore it. Devil's kids are going to be devil's kids. Just get your own family, get in there, huddle down with your own family and train them up good. Don't ignore them. Don't worry about them. And I keep coming back to the water, the sign of the water. Jesus said, why can't you get it? Don't you get it? Water being the Holy Spirit? Is there a flood of the Holy Spirit on the horizon? Those of us have eyes to see? Or do we see the Holy Spirit, the waters, as just the flood of all things good, going to get flooded and washed away? Not the way I see it. I want to get Craig in here today because Craig's been badgering me for about 4 days, and I don't mean that in a bad way. The toughest part of my, if I were to show you guys my emails of all these different things people send me, God bless you, I appreciate it, of topics and subjects and what about this, man, we would be on here 24/7. We really would. But I think we're in a time and in a place right now where Jesus told us, you see the storm clouds building, how is it that you cannot read the signs of the times? And then the question is, are we reading the signs of the times accurately? Are we reading it accurately? Are we misinterpreting the signs of the times? And Craig's been all over it for a week, at least a week, more than that, about where we are, the signs of the time, and how the heck are we missing this? And the moon, and the earthquakes, and the floods. And so I'm going to just shut up here for a minute, and I'm going to kind of let Craig walk us down memory lane here, that our eyes might be open and understand what the heck is going on around us. Folks, you ever seen such chaos? You ever seen such chaos? Look at what's going on. They say fifth generational warfare and all Trump's just playing a magic game with them and he's setting them up. That all may be true, but the confusion and lawlessness is everywhere you look. Okay, Craig, I'll shut up. Come on in.
This will be 5 minutes or less, Coach. Time and location, Coach. We just celebrated something that had time and location. What's the cross represent? The intersecting of two points. Spencer, could you pull up that first one about the show where it shows a graph of...
By the way, let me say this real quick. Hang on, Spence. I don't know if you guys know this, but last night was something called a buck moon. You've never heard of a buck moon? I've never heard of a buck full moon. We just had one. A buck moon. Anybody ever heard of that out there? I never heard of that. Mm-hmm. And it's significant. It's significant, the buck moon. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, maybe we can buck against evil. That might be a good thing for the church to do. Mm-hmm. But anyways, what I want to do is I want to talk about time and location here, okay? Because on April 5th last year, we were talking about the solar eclipse. And what I want to show you, you can see the different ones. It was 2017. Time and location, talk about
that. Okay, stop a minute. What, before you get into it, what does this chart show us, Craig?
It's the three solar eclipses, which went over the United States from 2017, 2023, and 2024.
Okay, cool. Okay. Now we know this topic, okay?
Right. And so, I mean, time and location, you would have never met Mark Trump if it wasn't for the first solar eclipse.
That's true.
Right? Okay. Yep. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes things intersect that have profound meaning or at least associations. So what I want to do is I want to call down here to where you see 2023 and 2024. Okay, you see that little star there. That is where these floods occurred. So what I did the other day is I said, okay, I want to know the exact point where these two eclipses from October 23 and April 2024. So Spencer, pull up Google Maps.
Hang on, stay there a minute. Sam, go back there. I'm sorry, go back there. Craig's talking about the intersection down there where it says Civil War ends in 1865. He's talking about that juncture there. Go ahead.
Yeah, which happens to be 160 years ago from today. They keep talking about we want to go. They're trying to create a civil war, by the way. We all know that, right? So, I mean, anyways, you know, the Civil War ends in 1865. Gosh, let's hope we don't go into a civil war in 2025. But anyways, I said, okay, where did this happen? So it happens in Vanderpool. So I go up and I pull up Vanderpool. I want to know the exact midpoint.
Vanderpool, Texas.
Yes, which is about 30 to 40 miles, air miles from Caryville, where all these floods occurred. Okay, now, there was flooding in this area too. But
Craig, for the slow learners, you're showing us that that's crossroads of those two eclipses as Vanderpool, Texas.
Correct.
Okay, cool. That's the slow learners in here. Okay.
Right. So when I look at this map, I look up and I see where that little red arrow is there, which I highlight. It says Indian Mound Ranch. Well, that got my attention because I've learned through L.A. Marzulli and you about the Indian Mounds, the Serpent Mound. And I'm like, that is very interesting. So being a little bit of a detective, I'm like, well, what's going on with Indian Mounds in Texas? So, Spencer, could you go to the next slide? Well, there's a great history, right, of the Native American histories in Caryville and the mounds and the Indian Mound thing, right? That's one of the reasons why the flooding is because there's these high mounds and valleys and all this rain, right, collects in the valleys and sweeps these innocent people away. All right. Well,
Hey, Craig, let me stop you there a second. Is it possible, Craig, that the history they've told us about the Pilgrims and Christopher Columbus, is it possible some of that stuff's not true, Craig?
We're only getting part of the story, but
okay, that's right.
We're going to connect a couple dots, right?
Paul Harvey's going to give us the rest of the story, okay?
Right. So Indian Mounds have a very prominent history, right, of events. And so Spencer, will you go to the Indian Mound Cottage? Okay. That's the home that was owned by the Rockefellers on Jekyll Island. And if you notice that, if you notice what it says Indian Mound Cottage. And the reason that it's called Indian Mound Cottage is the Tomica Indians that were on the island, which happened to be 8 to 9 feet, which is kind of about the size of Goliath, okay? They would sacrifice children on an altar, okay? If you look at that house and you look to the right, you'll see to the right, there's kind of like the house juts out in like a circle and there's a big window there. That's called the parlor room. A gentleman did a study several years ago and put on YouTube that in about 1912, 1913, the Lehman Brothers, J.P. Morgans, the Rockefellers all came up with their plan about the Federal Reserve System.
Creature from Jekyll Island.
Correct. But you know what's ironic about that? And this gentleman points out the altar that they killed the Indian children on sits underneath that room. So this plan was built on innocent blood. Okay. Now, why am I bringing that up? Let's go back to the Texas thing.
Well, first of all, let me stop. Hey, friends, are you looking at me? These are not Indian mounds. These mounds were not built by the Indians. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So this event happens on July 4th, right? There was a previous event in 1932 during the Roosevelt administration. You had the same floods in this particular, not this area, this general area. In 1987, you had floods at a Christian camp in 1987 during Reagan. Okay. What I'm trying to point out is this caught my attention. Now, what began to worry me a little bit about this when I did it is I'm starting to think, okay, we're at the 1 year anniversary of the Trump assassination. And this was not something that Donald Trump was going to go to. All right. I mean, this wasn't on his radar. But then they said he's going to travel down there. So then I just started doing more investigation. And what this did, and then, you know, being around here is like, is there something spiritual that's going on here that we need to really just hone in and pray for our country? And so when I did that, I sent a lot more information. We don't need to get into it. The point is we need to be in a position of humility and prayer over our nation, over our leaders, over the trajectory of what's going on here. You know, whether the Epstein files, we need to get them. You know, we need a lot of exposure for the Lord to bring cleansing into the land. Mm-hmm. So what I asked you to do is I said, could we read 2 chapters today, Psalm 11 and Proverbs 11. Why 11? Because today's the 11th, right? And there's a reason why the Babylon story is chapter 11 in Genesis. Okay, like God does have a little bit of a sense of humor, but he also gives you a little direction. And so if we could start with that and just read those, because I think Trump was supposed to go down there today. That was one of my concerns. But now, guess what? The last that I heard, whether he does or not, is he's going to go on Sunday. Well, Sunday is July 13th. That's the exact day that he was shot in Butler, right? So we don't want chaos. We don't want some sort of event to happen that's going to do this, you know? And we need to just pray for our nation, and we want righteousness to prevail. So as we've done in the past through different things, Coach, we've read certain scriptures, and we've been in agreement, and the Lord has been gracious and answered us in a lot of those times.
So pull up for me real quick, for those of you who maybe pull up Genesis 6 for me real quick, Spencer. For those of you maybe who are not making the connection to the Indian mounds, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, we got new people tuning in all the time. It came to pass, it's Genesis 6. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. This is what the mounds are about. They're not Indian mounds. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, who are they, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. A couple questions we would ask ourselves right here. Hang on. Who are the daughters of men? Right? Who were they? And then who were these guys who took their wives, took them as wives? And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth. In the time out a minute. Hey, Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Except we ignore this. We ignore this. There were giants in the earth in those days. David and Goliath. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God, who are those? Who are those? The sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. So we got some giants and we have some sons of God, and evidently they're having sexual relationship with the daughters of men. As hard as this is to understand, this is what this is telling us. And they bear children to them, and those children became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So this union of women and seems to me be giants produced something that wasn't good. In fact, verse 5 says, God saw it, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Scroll down. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Boom.
Folks, you can ignore this. We can ignore this if we want to. But the Bible that you say you believe, and I say I believe, talks about giants. A crossbreeding of giants and women. Real quickly, Spencer, because we have new people tuning in every day. Go. I don't even know if it's there. Go to Webster's and look up Nephilim. 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 No, Nephilim. M. Doesn't look like he has it. Nephilim. Should pop right up. Nephilim are the product of this marriage between angels and women, which created giants. Okay, that's a little back history, okay? You say, well, Coach, what's the big deal? Well, because there are Indian mounds, they tell us, Indian mounds over here. I'm sitting in the midst of Indian mounds right here where I am. Indian mounds. L.A. Marzulli would say Nephilim mounds. And then Craig just finds this, that there are Nephilim mounds in Kerrville. Well, this happened. Am I tracking okay here, Craig?
Yeah, this is a high area. It's a high point. There are certain areas that really distinguish each other, Coach. So
okay, go ahead then with what you're doing. I'm trying.
And yeah, just the other part of it is okay, whether this is a man-made thing, whether this is a spirit-led thing, whether it's a combination of both, okay, innocent blood was lost. Okay. And that goes back to that picture of Jekyll Island. Okay. And these kids, whether Camp Mystic has a very bad, you know, the historical parts of it, there's just innocent little kids that were going to go have a nice summer. Two little girls were holding their hands, found dead, sisters, right? What I'm just trying to say is there was innocent blood shed. And for whatever reason, if it was really evil, why not make it like Christian people, right? I mean, if you study the people in the occult, if they had to grab this kid here, and this is a Christian kid, and I'm going to offer it on the altar, they pick the Christian kid. For some reason, right, there's more of a energetic charge. That's how bad evil is. But my point being is we need to pray against that, and that's why we pick these psalms today, Coach. And,
okay.
You know, we can read them and pray in agreement, and you can go on to the rest of your show.
Okay, hang on just a second. Spencer, I just Googled Nephilim, Nephilim, Nephilim. Nephilim are a mysterious group mentioned in the Bible, particularly in Genesis 6:4, and further elaborated upon in texts like the Book of Enoch. They are often described as giants, the offspring of unions between sons of God and daughters of men. This is Google, this ain't the Bible. Interpretations vary, with some viewing them as literal giants and others as symbolic or allegorical explanations. Right? Numbers 13:33, the Israel spies upon returning from Canaan reported seeing giants, including the Nephilim. The book of Enoch text expands on the story describing the sons of God as fallen angels, watchers. Okay, cool. So I just want you guys to know that what we're talking about here is, in fact, in the Bible. Okay, cool. All right, so we're going to read, what are we going to read here, Craig?
Well, we're going to read two verses. They're both from chapters 11. One is Proverbs and one is Psalms. And I believe when I read these, when God put this on my heart a few days ago, to me, I think it really speaks about what we're trying to pray against right now.
Amen.
Over our land, over our land, over our leaders, over our homes, over our towns and cities in America and the world, for a fact.
Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start. Spencer's got us, you want us to read all Proverbs 11 and all Psalm 11. Is that right, Craig?
Right, both chapters.
Because this is the 11th, folks. A false balance. Wow. Stop right there and think of the American economy. The dollar is no good. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. The integrity. Some of you all doing some stuff you shouldn't be doing. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. But the perverseness of the transgressor shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Your money ain't going to do no good when judgment comes. For righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. But, hey, folks, Esau I've loved, Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. Huh? Somebody lying to you, telling you we're all God's children, that God loves everybody. That, folks, that is a lie from the pit of hell. God's love is available to everybody. God don't love everybody. Sorry. The righteous of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors. Do you see the two types here? Do you see this? We're told in the church not to judge. Don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Well, he's judging. The righteous of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Look at our government. The righteous of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. What a word, huh? When a wicked man dies, he expects his expectations shall perish. And the hope of unjust men perish when they die. Unjust men. How are you made just? You're endued with righteousness from Christ. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. The wicked cometh in his stead. And hypocrite with his mouth destroyed his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, they're shouting. What's that say for? God loves everybody. Huh? When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there's a party. But the blessing of the upright city is exalted. But that upright city is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Hey, Vinny, I need a boom. I need a boom. I'm just reading the word. I'm just reading the word. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit covers his brother, hides it. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of godly counselors, I put that in there, there's safety. You guys trust Lindsey Graham? Mitch McConnell, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart of it. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. What is suretyship? I'm guessing, but it means confirmed right. That would be suretyship, doing the right thing. A gracious woman retaineth honor. That's my wife. And a strong man retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. But he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. A lot of you just want to get even. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. Scroll down, please. But to him that soweth, keep going, man. Keep going. Come on, let's go. Scroll down. There you go. Stop. But I got lost. 20, I think. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination. A righteous tendeth to life, so that he pursueth the evil, pursue it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their own way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Doesn't matter what kind of, doesn't matter what kind of secret group they got, they ain't getting away with it. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And as a jewel of gold is in a pig's nose, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. Just look on Facebook about women parade their bodies. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is war. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Storing stuff. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing be upon the head of him that sells the corn. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But he that seeketh mischief, oh, it's going to come to him, all right. And he that trusteth in his riches shall fail. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And the fool shall be the servant to the wise of heart. The fool's going to service. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he that winneth souls, that's a wise dude right there, boys. And behold, the righteous shall be paid back in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. You are going to reap what you sow. Click the other one up there. Proverbs 11. So, was that what it was? Proverb 11? Oh, third. I got you. In the Lord I put on my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. And if the foundations be destroyed, what are we going to do about it? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, God's soul hateth. When was the last time you heard that preached? Upon the wicked, God shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This is going to be the cup of the portion of their cup. For the righteous, Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Boom. Joe Allen, you've been trying to get in. Come on in. Anybody, come on in. Craig, whoever, rescue me here.
Well, Dave, I wanted to say also, too, about Kerrville, that, you know, they also have a Stonehenge monument there as well. That's one thing that was interesting about that, is that it's near life, you know, life size. And, you know, we went to it. And the location of those things aren't by accident, as Craig is putting up there and showing that. We don't run, we may not really fully understand it, but they do. And this is forbidden knowledge, that's why they keep us distracted with fighting upon one another rather than learning these deeper topics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, it's deep. Joe Allen, go, Joe.
Yeah, to expand on what Craig's talking about, Jekyll Island's south of my backyard here. My family, I've been there about five times, and I just want to experience or tell you experience that we've seen on that island. That if you guys ever smelled red tide, that's what that whole island smells like. It smells like death on that island. Mm. At nighttime, they have the lights on the base of the trees, an ominous look up into the swamp trees that they have there. It's just a feeling you have. They've also had children come up missing on that island.
So Jekyll
Island. A lot of all these D.C. People go to that island. There's so something bad there.
Jekyll Island. I gotta hurry here, Joe. Jekyll Island, folks, is where the Federal Reserve was created in 1917? Jekyll Island. That's what Joseph's talking about. Randy.
1913.
Thank you. 1913.
Yeah, coach.
Give us the Federal Reserve, soon the income tax, all created in this wicked place known as Jekyll Island. Go ahead.
Coach, what we need to understand is that when we go to these places and stand on the ground, the literal earth, and speak God's word and speak God's will and speak God's strategy, his plan, that is the counter. That is the counter to evil. What Craig's reading here, the word of God, in opposition, is the counter. That is what God is doing, coach. And if we can't understand that and be part of that, we're just watchers. We're on the bench. And we have to be the people who will obey and hear and obey and be the counter.
Randy, I read yesterday. The whole creation groaneth, waiting for God's people to show up.
Amen, coach. It's true.
The sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. David Arthur's got a video. I know. I like to play it. I'll do it in the after show. Folks, it's all around us, man. The chaos is all around us. We have to understand, again, you can tell there's going to be a storm coming, you hypocrites. Why is it you cannot read the signs of the times? And as I read the signs of the times, am I rejoicing that it's at the end? Or at the end of this whole thing? Or am I rejoicing that it's my time to shine? We've got to get back to staking and some of that stuff we've been doing. We know the truth. We know that only the truth will make us free. God bless you. Have a great weekend. See you tomorrow. See you Monday.